Let's hold them up and say it together. This is the Word of God. Awesome. If you remain standing with me, please, and turn in your Bible to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 11, and you're going to have to read this on your own to start with. Jesus' words, John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you again that you love us that much. And not only did you die for us and raise again, but you have chosen to shepherd us as your children, as your sheep. And I pray, Lord, that as we move into this message this morning, that our hearts would receive again what it is that you have for us. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless us and anoint it as it goes forth. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to read 1 through 11 for you, and then we're going to spend the rest of the time kind of commenting on this parable. Well, not really a parable, but it's the story that Jesus told. Illustration. So, John chapter 10, starting with verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things in which he spoke to them. And then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Well, Jesus used this illustration, and most certainly around them in Palestine, there dotting the hillsides were herds of sheep, flocks of sheep, and shepherds. They're very familiar in this culture at this time in this place. They're very familiar with sheep herds. They were very familiar with sheep. They were familiar with shepherds. They were familiar with shepherding. And so Jesus began to teach them. He began to teach them something that they were really familiar with. It's kind of interesting that down there in verse 6, it says they didn't quite get it. I don't get that, because you remember the 23rd Psalm, and we'll go to that here after a bit. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So the Lord has used this illustration of sheep and shepherds long before Jesus reused it. But there was things there that they didn't understand. One of the mechanical things about a sheepfold, in this particular illustration, he's talking about a sheepfold. They built the sheepfolds out of some kind of material, a stone wall, you know, part way up, or some other material, so that they had an enclosure. Rarely did it ever have a roof on it. Sometimes there was maybe a partial shade shelter thing, but they're usually open, and oftentimes, several flocks from the hillside, several shepherds would board their sheep in this same fold. And the reason for the fold was at night, they could bring the sheep into that fold, and the wall kept out the predators, and the wall kept out the thieves, or at least deterred them from stealing. So you can imagine that the wealth of that area was a sheep. So it's probably worth more than our dollar today, right? But if you had sheep, you had money, you had wealth. So there were sheep thieves. And the shepherds, when they put their sheep into the folds, they would hire somebody to stand in the door. There was only one way in and one way out of the sheepfold, and they would hire somebody to stand in that doorway so that no one could come in unless they had permission. And also keep the predators out. So they guarded it. Or the shepherds would take turns doing that themselves, and they would kind of protect the sheep in that way. And so Jesus was trying once again to explain to them his relationship with them. Now it's possible the reason they didn't understand it is because they did know sheep. And one of the things about sheep is they're not real bright. Right? And maybe they just couldn't equate themselves to a dumb sheep. And the sheep are pretty defenseless too. I haven't heard anybody, you know, dying from being attacked by a sheep. Although those rams, they can butt you pretty good, I think. But a story of this guy that had some sheep and he had a ram. Jason was telling me the story about this guy. He said him and that sheep had a thing going. Not good, not a bad thing, but that sheep would see him, and that sheep put down his head, and he'd come running at him, and he'd go running at the sheep, and he'd punch that sheep in the head between the horns, and they'd roll around the ground, and they'd just have a regular pitch battle. I think the guy needs therapy, don't you? But at any rate, generally, sheep are just harmless. They can't hurt you. They can't bite you. They can't eat you. They don't have sharp claws. So sheep are kind of defenseless. They're kind of not real bright. And Jesus was comparing them, us, to that, to sheep. And maybe that's why they didn't get it. Or maybe they didn't understand that Jesus was saying that he himself was the shepherd, the great shepherd. In verse 1 and 2 again, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now as you get farther into this illustration, you'll discover that Jesus is talking about the Pharisees and the religious leaders. The religious leaders of the day considered themselves the shepherds of Israel, the shepherds of the flock of the people of Israel. They were the ones that were watching out for the people. They were the ones that were taking care of the people, spiritually speaking. And Jesus comes along, and to them, Jesus was a thief and a robber. And Jesus is turning this illustration around and saying, no. Later on, he says, anyone who has come before me is a thief and a robber. I am the good shepherd. None of the Pharisees, none of the religious leaders were going to die so that the people could be saved. Mostly they were in it for what they could get for themselves. And in verse 3 through 5, it says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. He said that because that's what the shepherds really did. They named their sheep. Now, you laugh about that, but how many of you have a name for your cat or your dog? Right? Or your horse? So they had names for their sheep. And the sheep, when they're in the fold, they're all mixed together. Several shepherds together, and the sheep are all mixed together into that fold. And it's kind of like the family of God, amen? We can go to a conference or go to a meeting somewhere, and there's all kinds of Christians that are there. And it's amazing when you go across the country or you go somewhere, and you can walk into a meeting or a church where there's committed Christians to Christ, and you feel just at home. You're all part of the same family. So the shepherd named the sheep, and they knew their own shepherd, which was important. Because you ever stop and think, now when they go out in the morning, how does the guy get all his own sheep out of the flock? They have many, maybe several shepherds. So in the morning, the sheep came out all together, but the sheep only followed their own shepherd because they knew his voice. They knew who he was. They recognized the shepherd. And they wouldn't follow the other shepherds, but they would follow their own shepherd. They knew his voice. He called them by name, and they won't follow an imposter. There's going to be false Christs that are going to rise in the end times, and there certainly is false doctrines and false religions that don't include Jesus Christ as God incarnate, Jesus Christ that we know from the Bible. They don't include him into their doctrine. He may be just God or he may be just a man, but people follow that because they don't know the real shepherd. They don't know Jesus. We're blessed to be able to be exposed to the Word of God, to be receive Jesus Christ into our hearts, to be illuminated. What happens is that it's made alive by the Holy Spirit in us, that knowing Jesus Christ. And so if we stay with an attentive ear towards Jesus, we're not going to get led astray. The Bible says that even the elect will be deceived if it were possible. In other words, it's not possible to deceive the elect because they know the voice of their shepherd. You're starting to get this picture that Jesus is trying to paint, the intimacy between his sheep and himself. It's an amazing thing. It's shall we say it's kind of a warm, fuzzy story? Or should we say woolly? It's a warm, woolly story that Jesus is telling. So, verse 4 again, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, verse 5, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And verse 6, Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke. I think we need to go back to Psalm 23, revisit that just for a minute. Now, we all have the same version up here. So, let's read that together, shall we? I'll get you started and I'll just kind of listen, but try to follow each other, you know, just try to coordinate a little. Okay, just like good sheep. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd.
Thank you.
Not bad for sheep. We see this, David's psalm, and from that time on, it was part of the relationship of the Israelites with their God. The Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus had this in mind, I'm sure, when he talked about this illustration that he gave them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. It's all just feels good. It's the kind of thing that the Lord had put into David's heart by the Holy Spirit, and he sung this psalm. His understanding of the Lord as his shepherd kept him in good stead through most of his relationship with the Lord. Of course, he made a couple mistakes, cost him quite a bit, but God and him stayed pretty tight most of the time. He was a stray sheep maybe once, huh? Talks about how the comfort and the provision and the peace and the joy that comes from following. Verse 7, again, back at John chapter 10. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." He kind of changed the scenario a little bit, but he's putting himself in two different situations in this. It's a double illustration. He talks about how he is, there's only one door. No one goes in and out of that door unless they have permission. And now he says he is the door. It's so plain what Jesus is trying to say to us about how important our relationship with him is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. And how many versions of coming to the Father are out there, do you think? Well, you just be a good person. You can go to heaven. Or maybe it's if you go to church so many times every year, you certainly will get to go to heaven. But the problem is with all these things is that no one really knows for sure. Even the guy that claims that the world was going to end, in the end of his statement said he wasn't really sure if he was going to go. Jesus is making it pretty plain. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Two things that are positive about that. Through Jesus, we're going to go. Without him, we're not. Follow the shepherd. So coming in through that sheepfold door, he's the only door. There's no other way to get there. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, it's verse 9, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There's your 23rd Psalm. The peace and provision that comes with a relationship with Jesus Christ. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He's talking about the Pharisees and the religious leaders, as we talked about before. He's talking about them because they felt like they were it. They were the ones, they were the keepers of the flock. And Jesus said, no, they're not only not the keepers of the flock, they're thieves. It's amazing how men want to put a man on a pedestal or a woman on a pedestal somewhere and follow them blindly. We've seen it, haven't we? We've seen it in small ways and we've seen it in big ways. We've seen world leaders like Adolf Hitler. People followed him pretty blindly. And it was a disaster. But following Jesus is never a disaster. Following Jesus is always going to get you where he wants you to go. If you continue to do that. His voice. Being able to hear his voice. You know, we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We talk about the gift of discernment. We talk about the word of wisdom. We talk about these types of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us. That's an extension of hearing the voice of your shepherd. That's an extension of hearing the voice of God. Somebody brings forward a word. Somebody brings forward a prophecy. That's an extension of hearing the voice of the shepherd. Could it be a false word? Could it be a false prophecy? Absolutely. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I think, it says that when one is given, when there's a tongue or an interpretation or a prophecy, there should only be three of the tongue and interpretation in a row, in order. And then the rest judge. That's what it says, the rest judge. So yes, there's always false voices out there, but you can't stop listening to the voice of the shepherd because you're afraid you're going to hear the wrong voice. Right? You got to continue to listen to the voice of Jesus as it comes to you, and he talks to you all the time. We know we talk to him because we hear ourselves talking to him. We know the world talks to him too. I hear him using his name all the time. Oh, you talk to him too. But we talk to him all the time. But what we oftentimes don't realize is he talks to us all the time. Talks to us through the word, but that's not the only way he talks to us. Clear back in the Old Testament, back in, you remember the story about the prophet that was on the mountain and the Lord came by. He wasn't in the wind and he wasn't in the, you know, all the noisy and powerful things. He was in the still, small voice. And that's kind of the way he works. The majority of what he does in our lives is that way. It's that still, small voice. You know, I don't know, some of you maybe are like this, but there are some people that can't be at home in their house without either the TV or the radio on all the time. They can't handle quiet. You know, there are people that run around the house all day long and they have the TV on and they don't watch it. It's constant noise, constant distraction. I think sometimes with all the entertainment modes that we have, we've lost the ability to be able to just be quiet and listen and hear the Lord. And in your life, how busy are you? Are you always running late for something? You always got something else scheduled when you're done with something? You don't have time to sit and just meditate, just listen to the voice of the shepherd? Because he's always calling, he's always talking, he's always leading. We need to be listening to him. Sometimes that takes a great deal of discipline in today's society to be able to just sit and say, Lord, I'm going to listen. And if you don't ever do that, it's going to take some practice for you to be able to hear. Because you're not used to hearing his voice, that still small voice. The sheep knew the voice of the shepherd because he talked to them all the time and they listened to him and they learned his voice. They learned to recognize his voice. Sometimes we're too busy to hear, and pretty soon, I had something really strange happen to me. We dug up an old tape. It was an old audio tape. And the tape was of a Christmas in our family back, I don't know, 25 years ago, something like that, long time ago. And my mother has been gone for a long, long time. And her voice was on that audio tape, and we were trying to figure out who it was. And just by the fact that the things she said and where she was and we figured it had to be my mom. And I thought, that's really scary. I don't even recognize my own mother's voice. It's been that long. I don't even recognize the voice of my mother when it came over on tape. And now you think, that's pretty sad. But I haven't heard her voice for so long, I forgot what it sounded like. That's not going to happen with Pat because I got some clips off the answering machine. I can still keep playing it. But and that's the way it happens with Jesus. He can be talking to us and we don't recognize his voice because it's been so long since we've heard him speak or paid attention to him. He's always speaking, but we don't always hear him. One of the things that would probably serve us in a powerful way in our walk with Christ is to really practice trying to listen and hear the voice of the Lord. Now, some of you are saying, well, we hear an audible voice? Some people have, but usually it is in the spiritual realm. It's the spirit realm you hear it. You know, these people that dabble in the evil part of the spiritual realm, they hear voices, they get promptings, they hear things. If the evil realm can speak to somebody, why can't Jesus? Why can't we hear Jesus? So we can. Nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, it's an important part of our relationship with Him. Over the years, I've heard a lot of testimonies about somebody who would say, well, I really felt like the Lord told me I should go this way instead of that way, and if I'd have gone that way, this would have happened, and it was a direct intervention from the voice of God. Or perhaps somebody would say, you know, I was doing some stuff I shouldn't be doing, and I just heard the voice of the Lord say, you shouldn't be doing that. How important is that? Or perhaps you're going to do something and the voice of the Lord will say to you, you shouldn't go there, you shouldn't do that, or you should do this. How much farther ahead would we be if we would just listen to the voice of the Lord as He speaks to us? Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. There's a lot of brave men and women that have given their lives for their country, and we honor them. But Jesus gave His perfect life, sinless and perfect, in trade to save our sinful life. The good shepherd. I just want to be a sheep, don't you? We're going to close with that. Once in a while, we get to have a warm, woolly message. Sometimes we have to listen to something that sounds like discipline, because the Word has them both. But today, it's a reminder of how much Jesus loves you, reminder of how blessed that you are. With every head bowed and every eye closed, perhaps this morning I could challenge you and ask you if you have gone tone deaf, if perhaps you can't, just don't seem to hear Him anymore, or at least not as good as you should, and you'd really like me to pray for you that you could find that quiet place to practice listening to the Lord, that you could hear His voice better. If that's you, just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me. I see that hand. That one, see that hand, and that hand, you can put them down. See that hand. See that hand, you can put it down. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ. You know of Him, you know about Him, but you don't know Him personally. You haven't given your life to Him. You haven't asked Him to forgive you of your sins and become the Lord of your life. Yield yourself to Him. If that's you this morning and you feel prompted to do that, you feel that, you hear that voice of the Lord calling you to Himself just this morning, slip your hand up. No one's looking around. I'll know who to pray for. Anyone? All right, I'm going to pray. Lord, I just thank You for that loving, tender voice that was willing to pay the price so that we could be set free from our sins and our transgressions, that calls us to Yourself. And I just pray, Lord, that through Your Holy Spirit and through Your Word and through our determination to be more attentive to Your voice, I pray, Lord, that You would help us to be better listeners. Help us to hear You. Help us to respond to Your voice when You speak to us, that we may walk more truly, more precisely on that path that You have laid out for us, and save ourselves a lot of detours and heartache. Lord, thank You that You have the time, You have the ability, and You have the desire to lead us every step of the way. Help us to hear Your voice. We just pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Dan's going to come and close out with a hymn.